If growing your business is something you're interested in, we got something special for you today. Welcome to another edition of Coach's Corner Empowerment for Entrepreneurs. This is episode number 57, Growing Your Business with Carissa Hill. Today's episode is sponsored by Marketing Thunder, powerful marketing training that really booms. You can get a full access 7-day trial for just $1 at www.marketingthunder.com. All right, welcome to another great edition of Coach's Corner. I'm your host, Robert Imbrielli, and I'm really happy to have you here today. But I'm even happier because I've got a guest that I'm going to introduce you to in just a moment who is really going to give you a lot of information, a lot of ideas for growing your business. We all have the same fears. We all have the same trepidations. We all have the same stepping stones, if you will, that we need to get over. And my guest today is Carissa Hill, and she is a serial entrepreneur. She's an author, an international speaker, and business coach specializing in helping women business owners scale and grow their businesses to six figures and beyond. Now, this is interesting. Her clients typically double and triple their businesses within just a few months using her strategies. She's got an online video show that she streams in her Facebook group, Coffee with Carissa, and it's done in the Q&A format. Really, really informative. Lots of great information there. And not only that, she's the author of a couple of books. Let me show you some of these books that she's written here. This one is I Like Money, and I really think this is a fun book. I can't wait to get my hands on it. And the other one, this is the title of this one, really got me excited. Girls Just Want to Have Funds. Isn't that a great title for a book? You can find those on her website at carissahill.com.au. And obviously the .au says that she is not from the US. She's in Australia, and I can't wait to introduce you to her. So let's get started. Carissa is someone that I've been looking forward to interviewing for about 2 weeks now, and so happy to have her here on the show today. Carissa, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. I'm really looking forward to talking to you because you are a very successful business owner at a very young age. And that story has always fascinated me. It's like, how do you get there? How did it start? Where did it all begin? A lot of people will learn a lot just hearing your story. So yeah. Why don't we get started with that? Why don't you tell us a little bit about, how you got started in business? I know for me, it was very, very young, and it probably was for you as well. I'd love to hear a little bit more of your story, if you would.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of explain myself as I'm someone who naturally starts a lot of business. Like, I started a lot of businesses as a child before I even really knew what I was doing. So I feel like, I'm a born entrepreneur. I've met a lot of people over the years who are the same. Like, they just look back at their childhood and they're like, huh, everything that I created, I would always like also try to sell it to someone. And so that was definitely one of my past habits. But my first actual business, I started a little graphic and web design business when I was 19. And that was my first business that I had for a couple of years. And I made a lot of mistakes in that one, like charging really cheap prices, trying to do everything for everyone. I learned a lot in that couple of years. Didn't really make any money, but made a lot of mistakes and experience. And then my second business was I started a little spray tanning business just from like a rental property that I was living in, kind of just for fun as like a side hustle. I was also working full time as a graphic designer. And being someone who's naturally very pale, I don't tan in the sun. And so I discovered spray tans and fake tanning. And I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. It makes me feel amazing. I want these all the time. So I bought, the spray tan machine and set up, and I only had, it was about $500 to buy it all. That was like all my savings. And then using MySpace, actually, or I built myself a little website because I knew how to do that, and using MySpace because Facebook didn't exist yet at that time, I started a little profile for the business on there. And it started to get really busy really fast. I'd also had little like discount flyers that I printed out for new clients, and everywhere I went, I took them with me and I gave them to people. And within about a year of that, I was making more money doing that from home just before and after my day job than I was actually making in a week sitting at a desk at my day job.
Wow.
And I kind of had that realization, and I was sitting at my desk all day at my work, and there was text messages coming in, there was people trying to make bookings, and I couldn't answer them because I was at work, and I had to answer the work phone. And so then I decided, well, I think it's time that I maybe look at going all in on my own thing so I can give all my energy to that. I decided to open a shop just randomly. And I guess this is how I've kind of done everything, as I just get an idea in my head and I just do it. I don't overthink things too much. I don't doubt them. I don't think of all of the worst things that could happen. I just try things. I just believe that the only way to find out if something's actually going to work or not is to try it. So I opened my first shop. My backup plan was, oh, well, I'll just go get another job if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
And or ask my mum for help or, you know, someone that could help me. And it just took off. It went really, like, it got really busy really fast. I hired my first employee within less than 6 months. I wasn't actually even thinking about doing that, but someone applied for a job with me and I was like, well, let's just try it. Let's see what happens. If it doesn't work out, she can leave. And that shop got really busy really fast. And then I got an idea in my head of, well, what if I opened another one? And I realized actually when I hired that first girl and then I hired a second girl, I trained them up and I found myself sitting in the shop not doing anything. And I was like, well, why am I here then? Like I could be at home, I could be out at a cafe, I could be at a friend's place, and I could still take bookings through Facebook, which had come out.
That's interesting. Tell me more about that, because I know a lot of business owners, and you've given me, I've got like four different points that you've hit on already that are brilliant. But that's, you know, one of the things for the business owner. The entrepreneur is actually a French word, right? And if you translate it to English, it means undertaker, literally. Right? Someone who undertakes everything. And that's the trap that we all get into as entrepreneurs. We say we've got to do it all. And here you are sitting in a shop and you're finding you're doing nothing. How did you manage that? I want to know more about this because this is fascinating for me.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I love this story. And this is a really big thing that I'm passionate about. And I try to help other people to do as well, because I believe that it's so important. If you want to grow your business, you can't do it all yourself. And so, I hired two girls. I had one working the day and one working the evenings because we were always open after hours. And there was people coming in to get spray tans and hair extensions, which were the two main services that we did. We added a couple of services later on down the line. And I was just sitting there, like, at the computer. I was taking, you know, text messages, answering text messages and Facebook messages where people were inquiring and emails. But I wasn't actually doing any of the physical work. So I just had this light bulb moment of like, well, I could do this from anywhere. I don't have to be in the shop to do this. And so I just tried it. I said to the girls, I'm like, will you be okay here on your own for like a few hours? I've been here since really early. I'm just going to go home and I'll keep doing the messages from there. And she was like, yep. And so then I did that. And then I just had this vision in my head, or this, it was a vision that I could have a successful business or successful businesses and not have to be in them, not have to work in them. And I could just do, you know, the social media marketing and things like that from anywhere. And so I made that my vision, and that's what I then set out to do.
So did you find, Carissa, did you find that a lot of your marketing really was on social media? Because you're talking about MySpace. This is, you know, prior to Facebook and, you know, it was early on in the social media revolution. Actually, it's not really true because social media has been with us, since the early 90s. But, do you find that most of your promotions do come these days from social media?
Yes, I have literally grown every single one of my businesses with, Facebook, except for when I first started out, because it wasn't there
yet. It wasn't there yet.
but yeah, everything has come from Facebook, and that's now what I do and I teach full time, as I teach people how to get clients with Facebook. I got lucky. I hate the word lucky, but I'm naturally just, I know what people want to hear and see on social media, and I've always found it really easy. And so when I see people going, oh, it doesn't work, you know, why doesn't it work for me? I run all these ads and that doesn't work, and I have a look at them and I'm like, well, it's because it's not, like, people don't really want to see that. It's not making it about them at all. It's all about, you know, yourself. It looks like an ad that you would put in the newspaper. That kind of stuff does not work on social media.
That's a real gift. I struggle with that because, yes, I've been doing advertising for God knows how long. I'm not even going to tell you how long I've been online, but it's been a long time. I started online back in 1984.
Wow.
Before America Online was launched, it was a service called QLink, and it was for the Commodore 64. So I was 17, 18 years old back then. And yeah, I started a long time ago. And
before one of the things I was born, that, literally.
Yeah, literally. That's it. That's why I didn't want to tell you. You know, so you, I look at it and it's like I get caught up in this all the time with putting posts on social media that are more like ads. And yeah. They read as ads and they look like ads. So I'm going to give you a lot of kudos here because you've got a gift in that. If you really know how to put posts up there that people really want to read and really make them about them, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Is that something that's part of the teaching that you do as well? Because
Yeah. And I guess one of the biggest things around that that I that works so well is that I've never seen it as though, like, I wouldn't put something on Facebook or social media that I wouldn't actually say to someone's face or write to someone one-on-one in a chat message or a text message. And I think that's the vision that I've always had for it. So, you know, you wouldn't stand in front of someone and just kind of like recite this big everything about your product and service and how good it is for 5 minutes. Some people probably do, but it's such a big turnoff. Like, you need to have, it has to be conversational and it has to be like, hey, you know, how are you? Have you ever thought about this? Or, and then wait for their reply. Like, you know, so that's one of my biggest tips, I guess.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because this generation, your generation you're growing up in, you guys grew up with computers, right? Mm-hmm. They were there already. When I was born, they didn't exist in the way they weren't. There were no home computers really until I got my hands on a computer the first time in 1980. So I was already, 16 years old then, before, you know, I was probably the only kid to go through college with a computer. So it's different now for your generation because you've grown up with this, you've been exposed to it, and you kind of have a different feel for it than perhaps we did growing up back then. We're kind of coming to it from, you know, sort of a different, actually it's a generational thing too, because our generation is very different than it approaches social media and advertising differently than you guys do.
I love what
you just said about posing a question and waiting for the response. That's brilliant.
It works. people love answering questions and they love talking about themselves, and social media is designed to be social, so that's always been a really strong part of my strategy.
Well, you've just contradicted it, because people like talking about themselves. They're not social. They're being egotistical, right?
Yeah, but they like doing it publicly.
They like doing it publicly. They like the attention is really what you're saying. Yeah. No question. Yeah. So tell me more about, you know, what you're doing these days, because I know you shifted. You're no longer, you don't have the salons anymore, right?
I don't. I took that business. I ended up with a chain of 3 stores. I did have 5 in total, but I would get to a certain point with one of them, or I would have one in a certain location that I didn't want to have anymore. And some of them I would just build up and then sell it. And open another location. So I have always seen a business not as just me, I suppose, and not as just I see the business as a product as well as the product that the business is selling, if that makes sense. So I'm very aware that you can build up a business to sell it as a product as well. And so I got to a point where, and I didn't know the reason then, but I'm fairly sure I know the reason now, is that I just wasn't my ideal client anymore. I got to a point where I was in my late 20s. So I started that business in my early 20s when I was like 21, got to my late 20s. I was not going out partying every weekend anymore. I wasn't wanting the spray tans done every week. I was more focused on wanting to be like a business owner and an entrepreneur and focusing on my career than just partying all the time. And I kind of fell out of love a little bit with the services and with the clients because I wasn't like them. I changed. And so I was kind of in this period of like, well, what's next for me then? If I'm not going to do this, what am I going to do? Because this is all I've been doing for the last 8-9 years. And so I started realizing that whenever I would go, I started going to networking events and like business seminars and things like that, just to like be inspired and learn new things. And every time I went to one of them, I would end up talking to people there and I would tell them what I'd done. And they were always like, well, how did you do that? How do you get clients with Facebook? How do you have 3 stores and not work in them? Tell me. And so I started making just like really quick, simple little YouTube videos on my phone, and I started a Facebook page for myself and just gave away lots of business tips just for fun. I was not intending on making it into a business at all. And then people started asking me more questions and started following me. And eventually someone actually asked, hey, can you teach me, like, can I pay you to teach me how to do this? And then I kind of realized that there was a business idea there.
The ice has been broken, yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I can sell my knowledge and experience. I did not even think of that. Yes. So then I started looking into business coaching, and I did a course in how to become a coach. And then I actually realized I didn't like coaching one-on-one after I'd done it a few times, because I was repeating myself over and over again, and I don't do well with repetition. I get really bored and frustrated with it.
Yes, same here.
Yeah. And so then I was like, well, what if I just created a series of videos and sold a course teaching people how to, you know, improve their Facebook marketing and get clients and do successful boosted posts and things like that. And so I launched my first little course. I sold, I think, about 20 of them in the first launch for $97. And it's just exploded and grown from there. I actually just did a launch yesterday, and I think we had like 70 people sign up for a trial of my $5,000 program. So yeah, it's kind of just grown. I mean, I've been doing Facebook paid advertising, but I feel like it's grown really organically, in the sense that I just do what I feel like.
You really hit the nail on the head there, because, you know, people start asking you about, you know, how did you do it? How did you do it? Because that's what I'm doing. I'm asking you, how'd you do it? How'd you do it? Yeah. Everyone wants to know. We look at you and you say, wow, Chris is so, you know, successful, and she's done this and she's done that, and she's helping so many people, and everyone wants to know how you did it. And they're willing to pay for it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because learning from you is like, here's a person who's already walked down the road, right?
Yeah.
The people behind you want to walk down that road as well, but they don't know how. They don't know what to expect. And here you are. You've been there. You've done it. You know what to expect. You know where the pitfalls are. You know where the potholes are. You know, yes, where the curves are and everything.
I've made all the mistakes.
You've made all the mistakes. And you know, when you talked about your graphics business early on at 19, making all the mistakes, I'm like, that's brilliant. I'm glad you made all those mistakes, because it would have hurt you if you didn't make any mistakes.
Absolutely.
It would have been a lot harder for you to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely a blessing.
So one-on-one coaching, yeah, I get it. It can be a little challenging. I do a lot of one-on-one coaching as well. The difference with me is the coaching's never the same, so I'm never repeating myself. Mm. You know, it's always about what's going on with the person and where their fears are and what comes up for them and what gets in the way of their success. So the conversation's always different. Yeah, the principles probably are the same, but the conversations never are. But I can see in your case, if you're cookie cutter and doing exactly the same thing again and again, hello, well, you know, put together a course, people will pay for that. And you can help a lot more people that way too.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. You can help a lot more people, and you can actually grow your business a lot bigger too, because it's not limited by time.
Exactly. And your time.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much of you, and you've got, you know, a child and another one on the way. It's just, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, how much time are you going to have? But people still want to hear from you. They still want to learn from you. Tell us about the launch you just did and what you're promoting, because I think that's going to be of interest to people who are watching this.
Yeah. Well, I see all of my launches, they actually just come, they're totally unplanned. I really, people ask me like, oh, do you have a strategy? I'm like,
I've never heard that before.
I don't have a strategy. I just have an idea, and I just do it, and I figure out if it works or not. So the launch that I did yesterday, because, I mean, we get a lot of people signing up to my program, like almost one every couple of days, which is great. However, we get a lot of people come that say, Carissa, I really want to join the program, but I just really don't have the money right now. I can see how it would help me to make so much more, but I'm terrified. I'm afraid. I don't know that, like, if I sign up for the first week, I don't know how long I'll be able to, like, consistently make the payments. And so I'm always trying to explain to people, I'm like, well, we have got it priced so that it's weekly charges rather than like monthly or in full, because it is designed to actually pay for itself as you go if you implement things. But a lot of people are still afraid of that, or they don't believe it, or they don't trust it. And so I was just having a conversation with one girl the other day, and I was like, what could I do for this girl to prove to her that I can help her make money in the first week so that she can, like, pay for the program. And in my program, I actually have like Facebook ad templates and like customizable templates that have been proven to work, and people can just tweak them to suit their product and run them. And they usually get people leads and sales quite quickly. Sometimes you need to play with it a couple of times and do a few versions before you get it right, but like everything. But they really do work. And so I said to her, well, look, what if I was to offer you like a trial for the first week of the program for $50 or $49, go in and implement this template right away. And if you don't get any results from it in the first week, if it doesn't work from you, you don't have to stay, and I will give you your money back even if you don't get any results from it. I'm that confident. But I also knew that, you know, the right people will make that work and succeed. And some people, if they're not, you know, fully invested or they are not having the right mindset, they will remove themselves and we can refund them and we've not really lost anything anyway. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know what, I'll offer that to her. And she was like, oh really, that's such an amazing offer, like of course I'll take you up on that, like why not. And so then I was like, all right, I'm gonna make this public for 24 hours for all of my followers or like people that have inquired about this program in the past. I'm going to try. I'm totally honest with them. I'm like, I've never done this before. I don't know if I'll do it again. I'm just going to try it for 24 hours only. You can get the first week of the program for this price. If you don't get results, we'll refund you. If you do, you're totally willing to stay and we'll help you grow your business. And so, yeah, so far we've had like 70 people sign up overnight, which is great. And there's more still coming in. But it was totally random, and all I did was a live video in my group, and that's how I do basically all of my launches.
That is amazing. I was thinking about that a lot. I get a lot of people that I coach, and you find that they'll buy a lot of programs and not do anything with them.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's not necessarily the program that's at fault. It's them, and they have a lot of fear around. You know, the fear isn't really about executing. The fear is really about failing. And yeah, even worse than that, what will people think of me as a failure?
Yeah.
And they don't want to take on that identity. So what you've done here is brilliant, because you gave them, you know, not a no risk. It's pretty much no risk because they get their money back after a week.
Yeah.
So you took the risk out of it and you said, hey, go give it a shot. And if it's for you, you'll continue. If it's not, no hard feelings. We'll give you your money back. Yeah.
Yeah. And absolutely, I know I'm actually really curious to see how it goes, because I know there's going to be a percentage of people that do stay and a percentage of people that don't. But then I'll, you know, I will track my numbers and I'll understand my conversion rate. We can even do it again in the future if it works well.
Yeah, exactly. And what you, like you said it right. You're going to have the people that'll rise to the top, those that are going to take advantage of it and do something with it and make something with it. And then there'll be the rest of them that they're not going to do it. No hard feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for trying. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, good luck on your way.
Exactly. Girls Just Want to Have Funds. Let's talk about that book for a moment.
Yeah.
I love it. I love the title. Where did it come from, and what do you teach people in that one?
I kind of stole the title of that one. oh, my light just went off. Sorry. I hope it's not too dark. I'm not sure what happened there.
You're okay.
I was in Japan, and we were walking through a market in Japan where they have lots of, you know, cute, kitschy, little funny things. And I think there was a little tiny backpack at a shop, and it said Girls Just Want to Have Funds on it. And I had actually started writing a book that was going to be like 10 or 11 of my favorite tips for bringing more money into your business. And I didn't have a title for it yet. And I saw that and I was like, that's amazing. That's so clever. I'm going to call my book that. And so I did. And yeah, people love it.
But the title
is actionable stuff. Yeah.
The title is brilliant. And like, I've shared it with a few friends of mine. It's like, how do you think about this title? You know, Girls Just Want to Have Funs. And they're like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. I want to read that book. It just makes you want to just reach out and grab it and read it.
Yeah. I'm glad you feel that way. That makes me happy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you do some really good stuff. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from you so far. Let's talk about the other book then. You have the other one on here. I'm looking on your website right now.
Which one?
I Like Money.
Yes. The very first Facebook marketing course that I created about 4 years ago, which was actually, it was quite short and it was quite simple compared to what I'm doing now. I'm teaching a lot more in-depth and advanced stuff and a lot more psychology and, you know, retargeting and all of that. We stopped selling the first course because I've started, you know, created this new version of it. And so what I decided to do was, well, let's turn the first course that I ever created into a book. and allow people to do it that way. Because that way, a lot of people that, you know, and the reason why I like to write books and have books is people come to me and they're like, well, Carissa, I can't, you know, afford your course right now because I'm really new in business and I'm not making any money. And so I'm like, well, go and buy the book. It's considerably less expensive or, you know, cheaper investment than the programs, but it will make you money if you implement it.
There's the key, if you implement it, right?
I always tell people that because so many people read it and they don't do anything about it. And I know, like myself, I've read a bunch of books and not implemented them, but I know that if I did, I'd get results. So I know people do it. But yeah, once again, it's like this little kind of strategy where the people that do implement it and get results, they're going to definitely be more willing to then come and, you know, work with me further and get bigger results. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the truth. If you can help them even a little bit, just give them a little bit of a result, they'll come back and they'll say, I want more, I want more, I want more. And absolutely. Yep. So if somebody wants to work with you, do you suggest that they start? I don't know. You're not running this $49 1 week trial forever. This is just for now. So where do they find you on Facebook and where do they find you if they want to find out more about what you're up to?
Yeah, well, my website's a good place to go because that's got the links to everything on there, carissahill.com.au. But I've also got my Facebook group, which has over 16,000 people in there currently, called Coffee with Carissa. And I share a lot of really cool stuff in there. Obviously, the books that you shared are a really good place to go and check them out if you want to add more money to your business with Facebook marketing or just get some little strategies and tips. Like one of the things in the Girls Just Want to Have Fun's book is so simple and it's free. It's literally just like following up with clients. I give people this script to follow that just go and email out clients that have already come or passed inquiries or send it out as a text message. And you always get people replying back and like buying things or inquiring about something or booking themselves in for something from that. But hardly anyone does it. So yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, you've tapped into a lot of really great stuff here. Talk to me a little bit about Coffee with Carissa because that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, I sometimes go live in there with a coffee. I actually have one now, so you're having a coffee with me this morning.
No, it's too late for me. It's 4 in the afternoon here. I know it's 10 a.m. for you, but...
So, I mean, I started that group just for fun, kind of like everything else as well. I started it just because I wanted to share random little tips and ideas. And I have a lot of ideas, right? I have too many ideas for my own good sometimes. And so I like to just give them away if I have ideas that I can't use this. I've already got too much going on. Here, someone else go and take it. And so I share a lot of ideas in there. Sometimes I'll do live Q&A sessions where I'll ask people like, well, what are your biggest challenges right now? What are you struggling with? It's usually things to do with marketing and staff or team members. I'll share successes, share wins, share questions, share challenges. And everybody in there is really helpful and everybody helps each other. So it's a really nice community. I like it.
Yeah, it's a nice community based on your energy and what you're bringing to it too. Because you often find when you create a community, it's always about the leader, right? It's that personality, and you seem to be a person who is very loving, very caring, really is passionate about helping. It's on your homepage, so I know that that's really what you stand for is really helping people. And
I really love bringing people together, and I think that's why I like the Facebook group so much.
Yeah, so that's really an important aspect of it. A group open to everyone.
Yeah.
Free to join. Easy to do.
Yep.
Awesome.
Click join.
All right. If I were to give you, a couple of questions, real quick questions. If somebody is just getting started, what should they do first?
So many things. But the first thing I believe is to clearly understand who you want to help and what their problem is. Like really intimately know who you want to help and what they want. It may be a problem that they have or it might be just a want that they have. So, you know, in my beauty salon business, it wasn't necessarily that people, like their problem was they didn't have a problem. They just wanted to be more tanned. Like they wanted to look better.
They had a problem. So, they were too white. They needed tan.
Yeah. But I think it's understanding the reasons why people want what you're selling. That's a really important thing because I knew, like I was my own ideal client. I knew that when I had a spray tan on, I felt amazing. I felt thinner. I felt like my clothes looked better. I felt prettier. My skin looked better. Like everything, I felt better. And so that's how I marketed the product. I didn't just say, it's a spray tan. It's this much. It's in this location. It lasts this long. You know, it was based around how people actually wanted to feel when they had it. And so I think that's a really important thing that everybody, you should understand the actual real like emotions that people want from the result of having your product or service.
So emotional benefits.
Yes.
Yes. How do you deal with fear? Or how would you suggest people deal with the fear of, gee, what if I start this and it fails, then what?
Mm-hmm. Well, my biggest strategy is to, and I got this from one of my mentors over the years, is to get comfortable with your worst case scenario. So a lot of people are afraid of things, but they don't know what they're specifically afraid of. So I like to get really clear on, well, look, what am I actually afraid of happening? Like, what is the worst possible thing that could happen? And then I make a plan around what I would do if that thing were to happen. So another example of this is when I started making YouTube videos, I was terrified of negative comments. Like, I was just like, oh God, people are going to hate me. They're going to rip on me. I see all this negativity that's on the internet all the time.
And that's where people stop. You're right. Yeah. That's exactly where people stop. Is like, that's why they don't do Facebook Live. That's why they don't. There are a lot of people who are what I call silent observers on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
They're on there. They never post anything. You know, it's okay.
So I'm actually a big lurker in other people's groups. I'm really active in my own group, but all the other groups that I'm in, I don't post or click on anything, but I read stuff.
So keep going with this. This is good. I like where you're going with this.
With the negative comments, I was like, well, it's probably going to happen eventually. And all of these people that I like look up to that have hundreds of thousands of followers on YouTube, they obviously got over it. They don't care anymore. They don't look at that because they just keep going anyway.
Yep.
And so I was like, well, what would they do? They probably have a team who checks their comments for them or like deletes negative ones, or maybe they just like look at it and just ignore it. So I was like, well, that's what I'll do then if it happens. Like if I get one that I don't like, I've got, a support network, I've got friends, I've got my husband. I can be like, can you go on and delete this? Or like, just, so I had this plan of like, okay, if something really upsets me, this is what I'm going to do about it. But I know that my passion or mission or purpose for helping people is more important to me than not doing it, if that makes sense. So I always ask myself that question, like, am I prepared to settle for not doing this? And it's usually no. So I just go ahead and do it anyway.
Yeah. And a lot of the negative comments really say more about the person making the comment than they do about us, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But I did a little bit of
research even around like why people leave comments like that. And that, you know, it's interesting because then you can understand it kind of from their perspective where you're like, well, they're just really unhappy, or they just are really, they want some attention. They want to feel important. Like, you know, so I know why people do it now. So I'm just like, oh, well, good luck with that. With yeah.
How about the power to keep going, to power through? Because as you experienced when you had your graphics business, not everything works out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what happens? Right. How do you tell people to keep going when things aren't working out?
I think like a lot of the time I still, if things start to feel heavy or if they feel hard, I do give myself permission to have a break. I definitely still have those days sometimes which turn into weeks where I'm just like, I just don't feel like doing anything. And sometimes it has been because I have maybe pushed myself too hard and I have burnt myself out a little bit. Or sometimes it is just because I'm unclear on actually where I'm going. Like sometimes you can just get into this state of like, well, what do I need to do now? What's next? Sometimes people set goals for themselves that are not really what they want. They're what they think they should want, or they want what other people are doing. So I think it's really important to come back to asking yourself frequently, like, why am I doing this? Is this motivating enough for me? Because if your vision or your goal or what you want to achieve isn't like pulling you towards it, then you're always going to feel like you have to keep pushing yourself. So I think it's really important that you discover like what is most important to you and remind yourself of that often.
Pulling, not pushing. Boy, I think that is so brilliant. I can't believe you have discovered this at such a young age, but it is absolutely true. You know, if there isn't passion there, you can only last on you know, self-motivation, pushing yourself for so long before you will burn out, and you burn out relatively quickly if you're playing the game that way.
And I find when most people make it too much about the money, like about the sales that they want to make and the money that they want to make, like that's, it's really, it is empty. Like it's not motivating enough. Like I think for some people, maybe it is, but for a lot of my clients, it's really not. Like it's about making a difference. It's about making an impact, growing a brand. I think some people are more motivated with actually growing like a recognized brand that people know of rather than making the money, and some people are more motivated by helping people. But that's where the money comes from when you do focus on doing what does motivate you.
Exactly. You know, people will think that they're money motivated, but I think the vast majority of people are not money motivated. They're motivated by what money can do and the options that you have when you have money and the doors that it opens, but the money itself, they're not motivated by. It's like, so it's a number in a checkbook, or, you know, it's money. It's a statement that comes in from your bank and there's a number there. What does that number really mean though?
Right? Exactly.
That doesn't bring happiness. Brings happiness is really by helping other people and doing something that makes your heart sing.
Yeah. So I even track now, like, I mean, yes, we track the numbers in our business, but the most important number is like, how many people are we helping? How can we help more people?
That is my New Year's resolution every year. How am I going to reach more people?
Yeah, it's cool.
It's never about money. It's always about how are we going to reach more people every year?
Yeah. And the bigger impact you make, the more income you make.
Yes. Yes. You should coin that as a quote.
I should.
Maybe it's a title for your next book.
I think so.
I love it. What other words of wisdom would you like to leave us with today before we wrap up here?
I think I will share my favorite life question to ask myself. Which is, if anything's ever feeling really hard, or you're really frustrated or angry, or like just anything yucky or negative is going on in your life, which happens because we're all human, I like to come back and ask myself, what would this look like if I was coming from a place of love right now? Yourself that question, it immediately changes your whole perspective on everything. Give it a try.
I certainly will. I'm going to take that into advisement. I think I really love this a lot. You are very impressive.
Oh, thank you.
I'm very proud to have had the opportunity to share some time with you today, and really appreciate you being here. And wow. CarissaHill.com.au, and I will put that in the notes, and people will be able to come visit your website and find you on Facebook as well, because I think that's another great place. You are active in there, and it's a great place.
I'm always on Facebook.
Aren't we all today? You know, we're always plugged in.
Yeah. I love it.
Thank you so much, Carissa.
Thank you so much.